And I'd like to base our thoughts this evening around verses 30 and 31. But of him, that is of God, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Now the church at Corinth was a gathering of those who had been called to be saints. At the beginning, in verse 2, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. And the called and the sanctified, two words which describe the Lord's people. If you're a Christian, you're one who has been called. And if you're a Christian, you are one who has been sanctified. And the call hasn't been a cold call where someone knocks on the heart of your door and you think, yes, I'll come. No, it's not like that at all. Those who have been called to be saints have been drawn irresistibly to the Lord Jesus Christ by the mighty working of the Holy Spirit. And remember what it says about Paul preaching at Corinth. Dreadful place, dreadful immorality, a tumultuous place, and Paul was afraid, and the Lord appeared to him by night and said, "Fear not, Paul, for I have much people in this city." And so Paul preached to them, and from among them there were people who had been called out of darkness into the light of the gospel. And Paul gives thanks for them in verses 4 to 9. I find this an amazing few verses, the way in which Paul gives thanks for these people at Corinth. Because when you read the rest of the letter and the problems that they had, you'd think, what a mess! What a strange and what a mixed multitude of people with all kinds of different faults, all kinds of different views. And yet they all have this one characteristic, that they have been called by grace. And the Apostle Paul gives thanks for them. And he gives thanks for the gifts that were among them, even though in many cases they were being misused. Now, although the Apostle Paul gave thanks for them, and although they have been saved by grace, there were still many evidences of remaining indwelling sin amongst them. And with the church at Corinth, especially those sins which were peculiarly Greek, peculiar to their country, their civilization. And what was characteristic of the Greeks was worldly wisdom. Remember when Paul preached at Athens and the intelligentsia said, "Let's hear what this babbler has to say." And very snooty about the preacher, the Apostle Paul. The worldly wisdom, strength and status, all those things which characterized the world in which we lived, in which they lived. And of course, the world in which we live is no different really, because human nature is the same worldwide. And pomp and worldly wisdom, self-sufficiency, they characterize our civilization. Even though it is being rocked from side to side by disasters, tumults and so on, we do not seem to be able to rid ourselves of these characteristics of human pride, because we can't by nature. And the purpose of God in his people at Corinth, and the purpose of God with you and me here and in Shepshed is this: to choose the insignificant, to choose the poor, to choose those who are nothing, to bring them to himself, and the Lord can say, look at my people, I've called them by grace, and what are they? They are nothing, yet they are my peculiar treasure. And that's what God's purpose is in among mankind, in Corinth, throughout the world, and here in Shepshed, that there is nothing for sinful man to glory in. He brings this all to nothing in his people, and he humbles us. The Corinthians, he did it. They repented of their errors and their sins, and he does it here 2,000 years later. Every congregation of Christians consists of those lacking in the things which the world admires. We here, we're insignificant in the eyes of the world. We're pitied. But we are called so that no flesh might boast in the presence of God. Verse 29. And he says that God blesses the things which are despised, the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, and no flesh should glory in his presence. And that's your purpose, the purpose of God for you and for me. What is God's calling for me? What does God want me to do with my life? He wants to, through us, show that he brings the pride of man to nothing, so that no flesh should glory in his presence. Well, that's by way of introduction. Let's see how God does this. How does God bring to nothing the pomp and the pride and the glory of man? How does he do it? Well, first of all, just briefly, I want us to look at our total spiritual lack. Because in our text, we are told that Christ became for us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And if Christ became those things for us, then by nature we have no wisdom, we have no righteousness, we have no sanctification, and we are not redeemed. And in our sin we are ignorant and foolish. We know nothing of God, even though he is displayed abundantly in all the world around us. We close our eyes by nature, we turn our backs upon these things, and in our wisdom we become foolish, and we are ignorant and foolish. The society that we live in, it constantly denies the existence of God. It constantly denies that there is a creator, and such foolishness because of the abundance of the revelation. And so professing ourselves to be wise, we become fools, and we are foolish, and the knowledge that we have by nature, even that evaporates away, and we are ignorant and foolish. Secondly, since Christ needs to become our righteousness, that means that we are by nature unrighteous. Now, righteousness is to do with the law, and to be righteous is to have kept the law. That is to have loved the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. and our neighbour as ourselves. The one who does that is righteous. And there's only one throughout the whole of creation who has done that. Every one of us, the Lord Jesus Christ, and every one of us is unrighteous. We haven't done it. And therefore, we are guilty. We are pronounced guilty by the law of God. And by God, we are unrighteous, guilty before God. And then we are also unsanctified. That is, we are unholy. Not only do we break God's law, but we revel in it. And we have sinful hearts. And from within us, as the Saviour says, come all manner of evil things. Sinful thoughts of one another, dirty thoughts, hateful thoughts, expressing themselves in dirty actions, sinful actions, and hateful actions. And so this was visible amongst the Corinthians, the way they lived. And we are just the same. We ourselves, by nature, we are sinful. But then the Lord Jesus Christ was to become for us redemption. Now, that is to do with slavery, with the slave market, we're all in bondage. We are captives to our sin. We are captives of the evil one. And we are enslaved to our sin. By nature, we don't believe in the devil. We don't believe in what he does and what he is like. Oh, no, I'm just myself. And in fact, we are slaves. We are his willing slaves. And that's what we like by nature. If we try to turn over a new leaf, we're just doomed to failure. And we are captives. And what we need, we're in chains, and what we need is for someone to come and to pay the price of our redemption, to redeem us, to set us free from our bonds. And this is what the Lord Jesus does. But these words in verse 30, they tell us what we are like by nature. And then secondly, they tell us of our inability to help ourselves. You see, it says, but because of him, because of the Lord, because of God's activity, because of the work of the Spirit, we are in Christ Jesus, who became for us these things that we are lacking. And this emphasizes that by nature, we are lost and powerless to help ourselves. We are not lost like someone who's left their sat-nav switched off, left their map at home to ask, could you tell me the way to so-and-so? We're not the sort of lostness where we have simply forgotten the way to go. No, our lostness is not that of someone seeking the way. We are separated from God and we are totally estranged from him. And the thing is that for all our pomp, for all our pride, for all our self-esteem, we are unable to help ourselves. So thirdly then, this brings us to our verse. And in this verse, we find that Christ is all that we need. He is an inexhaustible supply. Christ is everything for his people. Now, looking at this verse and going here and there in the chapter, if we are Christians, it is of God. If we are to be saved, if we are to be loved by God, if we are to be reconciled to him, it is of God. Look at verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things. We're fools by nature. But God comes and by his Spirit he chooses the foolish things. It is of God that he chooses. And then verse 28. Not only foolish, but base things, despised things God has chosen. And God has brought to nothing the things that are. And so if we are Christians, it is of God who has chosen us. And in choosing us, the gospel that we hear, in the gospel, God calls sinners to himself. It's a wonderful work of grace that one should become a Christian. If you're a Christian this evening, then a wonderful, miraculous work of grace has taken place in your heart and in mine. I was wandering on my way, just wanted to be left alone, just wanted to have a career where I could earn enough to have a smart car. That's all I wanted. And yet God in the gospel came and he arrested me so that I couldn't get away from him. Wriggled as I might, I could not get away from the workings of conscience and the workings of the Spirit. And I look back now and I see that it is of God that I am a Christian today. He has called me, he's chosen me and called me by his grace. And because God has chosen us, then we see that it is because of him, or of him, it is because of God that we are now in Christ Jesus. We read these words, but of him you are in Christ Jesus. God chose, God has worked, and in the preaching of the gospel, it is because of God that we are found to be Christians this evening. And if we are not Christians, it will be only of God that you will ever become one. And you need to cry out to God for mercy, because only he can save you from your sins. Because you have nothing. You've got no strength. You've got no power. You've got no understanding. But because of him, you can be made in Christ Jesus. And that's what we read here. Of God, we are in Christ Jesus. And in Christ Jesus, what did Christ become for us? When we were brought into him, to belong to him and to be regarded as in him, what did the Lord Jesus Christ become for us? Well, he became all that we need. We looked at four aspects of our character: ignorant and foolish, lacking in wisdom, not knowing God. What did the Lord Jesus Christ become for us in the gospel? He became wisdom from God. What you know of God, what I know of God, is the work of the Holy Spirit. As we read the Bible, as we discuss it together, as we hear it preached, and as we begin to love God and love his ways, and to realize that to follow him is true wisdom, where did that come from? It is of God. Of God, Christ has become our wisdom. And it is through Christ, his coming into the world and preaching the gospel, dying in our place, and being raised again and ascended to God's right hand to be our high priest. It is through him that we know anything at all of the glory of God. Of him we became wisdom from God. And then we became righteous. But notice what we received in the Lord Jesus Christ. We received righteousness. We were pronounced through the gospel, through Christ's work on the cross, we have been pronounced not guilty. God has granted to us a righteousness as a gift, but he's granted it to us, the unrighteous, the guilty ones. We have been forgiven. We have been set free. We have been declared righteous because Christ's righteousness has been reckoned as ours. And it is God's work. God has done it. Nothing to boast of here. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And what else has he done? Well, he's become for us our sanctification. We who were vile and worthless and sinful, God has taken us, he's pronounced us not guilty, and he has set us apart for his own service. He has sanctified us, just like some of the vessels in the Old Testament temple. They were called sanctified vessels. They were set apart for sanctified use in the ceremonies. And we are sanctified vessels, set apart for the service of God, to please him in all holiness and righteousness. See, the Lord Jesus Christ has become all that we need. He's become our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification. And what else has he done? Well, he has redeemed us. He has paid the price. We were in debt to God, and we deserved to be punished. But Christ has borne our punishment in his own person upon the cross. And he has purchased his people. And so, you see, what is the outcome of this? Well, it is that we should glory in the Lord. Christ is all that we need. He is an inexhaustible supply for his people, for anyone who is to come to salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, how did we become in Christ? How did that come to us? Well, by nature, in chapter 2, verse 14, there's a dreadful description of us there. The natural man, that is, as we are, in our sins, in ourselves, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That's what we're like by nature. What a dismal picture. What dreadful poverty, what dreadful weakness. And yet, we were like that. How is it that we are found in Christ? Because that's what we like by nature. Well, as I've already mentioned, Christians are those who have been called by grace. Now, you're hearing a call now. As I tell you of these things, trying to impress upon you your need of them, you are being called. But my words are powerless. My words cannot produce any effect upon you. But when God takes them, God the Spirit, and applies them to the heart of a sinner, your heart, if you don't belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're feeling this conviction that all that I'm saying is true, where does that come from? It is the Spirit of God. And Christians, we have become Christians because we have been called. And it's not simply a decision. It's not filling in your name on a decision card or any of these things. It's much, much more, much deeper than that. Because the calling is with us and is with the Christian all through their lives. How did we come to be in Christ? Well, we were lost, we were unable to help ourselves, but Christians are those who have been called by grace. The theologians call it effectual calling, the call by grace. It accompanies the preaching, and that's why some believe and some don't. But if you have any realization that the Spirit of God is working within you, do not resist. He is one calling. And as a result of that call, then what have we done? Well, in verse 2, we read that the called, the sanctified, those who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ, both theirs and ours. Christ calls us, and we, as a result, call on him. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Verse 21, we also read, For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God, through the foolishness of the message preached, to save those who believe. Having been called, the called sinner, the convicted sinner, then believes. And that was your experience. You may not be able to set it out in this way, but that's what happened. You were awakened, you were called, and you believed. And that is what we need. We need that mighty work of God in the Spirit, by the Spirit. And God will give that. Being convicted, in coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, in believing in him, you reveal that you have been called by grace. And once in Christ, then we are those who follow him for all our days, and we seek to obey him, we seek to honor him, we seek to love him and to please him. And all this is done, why? Well, it doesn't bring any glory to us. Who does it glorify? It glorifies God. It glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. It glorifies the Holy Spirit. It's all done that, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Now, I don't want to spin this out. I just want to ask one simple final question. Do you know these things? Do you know them for yourself? Are they things which belong to you? Because unless you have these things, unless you have been called by grace, unless you are trusting in what Christ has done for sinners, then you cannot be saved. You can be as respectable as you like. You cannot be saved apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the purpose of the gospel: to glorify Christ and to humble us. And we could have been the proudest of people, but God is working on us. There's still pride there, but God's working on us, and he is bringing us into submission to himself. May God be the one to whom we belong, and may every one of us here this evening be in Christ as we come round the table to thank God for what he has done in our Lord Jesus Christ.